Well, we are starting a new series this morning on prayer. We've been talking about the practices of Jesus this year. We'll cover a lot of them by the end of the year, but the goal is to implement them into our lives as we go. So the idea is, if we are going to follow Jesus, then we should probably practice what he practiced. I'm probably going to say that every week this whole year, so just get used to it. So far, we've covered Sabbath and fasting, and those series are up. The fasting one is probably still on Facebook. The Sabbath one is up on our website. Both are on our website in audio. So if you missed anything or missed all of them or whatever, and you want to go back and catch up on anything, you can do that at MiddletownNaz.com or on our Facebook page. But today, we're going to start a new series on prayer. And so there's a story about these parents, and they're teaching their young son how to pray before bed. Every night, they follow the same routine. They get his teeth brushed, they get him into bed, they tuck him in, and then together they would say this simple prayer that the boy had memorized. Dear God, thank you for this day. Bless mommy and daddy and my sister and grandma and grandpa. Amen. And the little boy prepared or repeated this prayer faithfully every night. It was a nice ritual. It was something familiar. It was comforting before falling asleep. But one night, the parents get just outside of the room, outside of the bedroom door, and they hear something different. After the boy had finished his memorized prayer, he didn't stop. Instead, he kept talking. He said, God, today wasn't a very good day. I got in trouble at school, and I didn't mean to. I think my teacher's still mad at me. And my friend didn't want to play with me at recess. But I hope tomorrow is better. Can you help me? The parents smiled because they realized something had changed. The son had moved from reciting a prayer that he had memorized to actually talking to God, telling God what was on his mind. And that's where real prayer begins. You see, many of us were taught prayers growing up. Anybody had like a ritualistic mealtime prayer or bedtime? Yeah. They're good things, right? It was something before bed or something you memorized in Sunday school. These are good prayers. They're a good starting point. But somewhere along the way, prayer in the form of sharing our mind with God can start to feel intimidating. We start to get insecure and feel weird and wonder things like, am I saying the right words? Or is there even a right way to do this? Or what if my prayers aren't good enough? Because we feel unsure, sometimes we stop praying all together. But then we dig into Scripture and look at the prayers of God's people over time, and we discover something freeing. I'm not sure what got us on this idea that prayer has to be something liturgical and ritualistic. The reality that we find in Scripture when we look at prayers is this. Prayer's not about impressing God with the right words. Prayer is about talking to God honestly. And truly, the first step to learning to pray is really simple. Just start talking to God. So today we're going to explore what Scripture teaches about this first aspect of prayer in this series. So this first part of prayer in this series we're going to talk about is simply talking to God. Pretty simple, right? Thank you, Jerry. Good grief. We okay? We good? All right. Good deal. Pretty simple, right? Hey, good morning. All right. The first stop is God wants our prayers. So the first part about talking to God is that God actually wants to hear from us. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So this passage is often used to talk about worry or anxiety, right? And it's good for those things, too. It should be talked about in that. But it also gives us important instructions on prayer. Paul says we are to pray about everything. He says, in every situation, by petition and prayer, not just the spiritual parts of life, not just in every big crisis moment, or not just the moments where we feel desperate, in every situation, everything. That means that the things that are keeping you up at night, or keeping you awake, the worries about your family, the stress at work, the decisions you're trying to make, the frustrations that come up during your day, God invites us to bring all of that to Him. And sometimes we assume that God only wants to hear about the important things. Have you ever had that thought before? I'll be honest, you know, I might be having so what you call them, first world problems, right? Like I lost the keys to my dependable car for 5 minutes, and, you know, now my day is ruined, kind of a thing. And you think, I could pray to God to help me find these keys, but that seems kind of silly, right? Because I lost them, and it's not necessarily God's problem that I did something. God doesn't look at it that way, right? We tend to think God only wants to hear about the important things. But the truth is, if something matters to you, it matters to God. Think about how children talk to their parents. A child doesn't just walk up to their mom and say, oh, this would freak me out, but say, I would like a few minutes with you because I've carefully prepared a formal statement about my emotional condition. Wouldn't you be like, what in the world? That's way more scary than them just yelling at you, right? Oh, no, of course, they just come up, I'm hungry, or look what I made, or he took my toy, or she hit me. Kids talk about everything. There is no filter. They see it, they say it, right? If it's on their mind, it's coming out. I've been sitting on this story for a little while now. I think it fits here. Kids will see something and say something, right? I was serving on the board for the Madison County Christian Counseling Center, and we had a dinner that we had to go to. My wife was working nights at the time, and so I got to take the three kids with me to this dinner. And the people were like, oh, no. I mean, I was like, I can't go. I've got my kids. They're like, bring them. We love kids. I'm like, well, have you met mine? You know? And they're like, it'll be great. Well, it wasn't. It was not set up for kids at all. And so we get there, and it starts in the parking lot. There's this really nice man that I'd known for probably 4 years at that point, maybe 3 or 4 years, had served with him, and he's got an eye patch. And I hadn't even really, you know, noticed it at this point. I'd known him for so long. This was Ty's first time meeting him as a 3-year-old, and he gets out of the car, and I mean, probably from us to the first or second row here, and he goes, Daddy, a pirate! And so I hung my head and thought of what to say, and the guy was so gracious. He turned around, he said, am I your first pirate, buddy? And I was like, whew, okay. Oh, dodged a bullet there, right? Oh, kids will say anything. No filter. They talk about things big and small, whatever it is. Parents don't usually respond to their kids by saying, listen, that problem is too small for me. In fact, parents love it when their children come to them because conversation is what builds relationships. You see, prayer isn't about filtering your life before you bring it to God. Prayer is about bringing your life to God. And when we do this, Paul says something remarkable happens. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Now notice, Paul doesn't say, bring your problems to God and they disappear magically, right? He doesn't say your circumstances are going to immediately change. He says he offers us something, I think, even better. God's peace begins to guard our hearts and minds. In the same way, God invites us to bring every part of our life into conversation with Him. So that's where prayer starts. But even when we know that God invites us to talk to Him, many of us still will hesitate. It's almost like we feel like we aren't allowed to be completely honest with God. And that leads us to the second truth about prayer. God wants honest prayers. If you want to learn how to pray, one of the best places to look is the book of Psalms. Psalms are essentially the prayer book of the Bible. It's a lot of just open conversation with God. They contain the prayers and songs of God's people across many generations. And if you read them carefully, you'll notice something kind of surprising. They are incredibly honest. They're very honest. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 4 is where we'll start. David says this, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." You ever prayed like that before? That's not very polite, is it? That's pretty raw. David's confused. He feels abandoned. He feels like God is distant. And instead of pretending that he doesn't feel that way, he just brings those emotions to God. Throughout the Psalms, we find prayers filled with every emotion imaginable. There's prayers of joy, prayers of gratitude, prayers of celebration, but there's also prayers of grief and anger and confusion. God included these prayers in Scripture because they teach us something important. It's that God welcomes honest prayer. God would rather hear your honest prayer than some polished performance. Think about your closest friendships. The relationships that mean the most to you are the ones where you can be completely honest. You don't have to pretend everything's okay. You can say things like, "I'm struggling," or "I'm frustrated," or "I don't understand what's happening." When we're honest like this, it doesn't damage the relationship, it strengthens it. Because real relationships are built on honesty. Now, the same is true with God. Prayer is not about pretending your life is perfect. Prayer is about bringing your real self to God. And something powerful happens when you do. And if you keep reading Psalm 13, you'll notice that David's tone begins to change. At the beginning, he's crying out in frustration, right? He ends with, "My foes will rejoice when I fall," right? That's pretty dramatic. And then he goes right into this. Verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." What's different? His circumstances haven't changed, but his perspective has. Something happened in the process of bringing his honest emotions to God. Prayer didn't just express his feelings, but it actually transforms his heart. When we're honest with God and don't hold things back from him, prayer changes us. We aren't made to carry all the weight of our frustrations around, but God can. And when we pray honestly, it changes our hearts and it aligns it back with God's heart. And that brings us to our next stop. Prayer releases our burdens. Prayer releases our burdens. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7, it says this, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." So this word cast, it paints a picture for us. It means to throw something onto something else. It's the image of taking something heavy and placing it on something stronger. Many of us walk through life carrying invisible burdens, worries about our families or stress about finances or fears of our future or even regrets about our past. Sometimes we carry these burdens for so long we don't realize how heavy they've become. Prayer can be where we take those burdens and place them into God's hands. Imagine going on a long hike through the mountains. Anybody ever done any backpacking before? Okay, well, he said just down High Street. Thanks, Austin. That's helpful. If you've done any backpacking before, you at the beginning of your hike, your backpack doesn't feel too heavy. But after several hours, it begins to weigh on you. Your shoulders start to ache. Your back becomes sore. Every step feels harder than the last. Now imagine reaching a rest stop on the trail where you're able to take your backpack off and set it on the ground. The moment you take that pack off, your shoulders feel immediate relief. Now the trail hasn't changed and the distance you've walked hasn't changed, but the burden that you're carrying has been lifted. That's what prayer does. Prayer may not immediately change your circumstances, but it changes the weight you carry through those circumstances. Now, this is the second instance we see in these New Testament letters where we're being told to bring our burdens and our worries to God in every situation. And Paul told us back in Philippians, when we do this, then the peace of God begins to guard our hearts. In other words, God's peace stands guard over our hearts and minds when we bring our burdens to Him. So prayer is about bringing everything to God. It's about being honest with God. It's about releasing our burdens to God. But at its core, it's even simpler than that. And that's where our fourth stop is this morning. Prayer is a relationship. In Matthew 6, you guys read that okay? Okay, it's super small up on the cheat screen. Matthew 6, we see Jesus teaching his followers to pray. This is during the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he begins with two simple words, Our Father. Now those words are revolutionary. In the ancient world, many people believed that gods were distant. They were unpredictable, and they were relatively uninterested in human lives. But Jesus reveals something radically different. God is Father. Now Jesus is introducing prayer as a relationship with our Creator. And prayer is just simply conversation with Him. You don't need impressive words like the hypocrites praying in the streets. You don't need long speeches like the pagans, for people are going to hear them because of all their words. You just need a relationship. Have you ever tried learning a new language before? It's awkward, right? It's awkward. It's weird. It's not fun. You stumble over words. You mispronounce things. You make mistakes. But along the way to becoming fluent, the only way to get there is to start speaking it. The more you practice, the more natural it becomes. Prayer works the same way. The more you talk to God, the more natural it becomes. Prayer doesn't grow through perfection, but through practice. And that's really the heart of what we're talking about this whole year. Practicing the way of Jesus. It grows through practice. Our relationship with God through prayer is no different. We have to practice it. So the goal is not to pray impressive prayers, but it's simply to build a relationship with God. So, how do we begin practicing this stuff in our everyday lives? We'll talk about just three simple steps here. Number one, start your day by talking to God. How many of you wake up and immediately just check the phone, right? Because it's our alarm clock. Yeah, it's our alarm clock, so our alarm goes off, and then we see all the text messages we have, and we just go right to it. Before you check your phone, before you begin your routine, take a moment and just talk to God. Tell Him what's on your mind. Tell Him about your day ahead. Invite Him into your day. Number two, turn worry into prayer. Whenever anxiety or worry does appear, treat it as a reminder to pray. Instead of replaying those worries in your head all day long, bring them directly to God. And over time, worry becomes an invitation into conversation with God. And number three, pray the Psalms. If you've ever struggled to find the words, right? I don't know what to say. I don't know where to even start. Start with the Psalms. Let the Scripture guide you. Read a Psalm slowly and then turn it into your own prayer. The Psalms gives us language for every emotion that we can experience in life. So to close this morning, let's circle back to that little boy in his bedroom that we talked about at the beginning. At first, he's simply repeating a prayer that he had memorized. But one night, he does something different. He started talking to God about his day, about his hurt feelings, about his hopes for tomorrow. And in that moment, prayer becomes real. Maybe that's where some of us need to begin again. Not with complicated prayers and not with perfect words, but just with simple honesty. Because prayer begins with one simple step. Just start talking to God. And when you do, you discover something amazing. The God of the universe has been waiting all along for a conversation with you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're accessible. We don't have to have prerequisites or qualifications to approach you. God, we thank you that you're a God who cares about what we care about. We thank you that you're ready and willing to listen to us, to hear what it is that we have to say. God, help us to be a people that start our day in conversation with you. Help us to be a people that invites you into every aspect of our lives. God, we thank you that you aren't this distant God of the ancient world, but you are a living, active God who wants to hear from us and who wants relationship with us. So help us this week to just start talking to you. Any worry that comes up, let it serve as a reminder to pray. We can cast our cares and our anxieties and our worries on you through prayer. Help us this week to do that. We ask that you go with us as we leave this place and that you would guide us, direct us, but ultimately that we would live in conversation with you through prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship team's going to lead us in a